Hey, this is Tyler, one of the hosts of RangerCast. On our show, we talk about Power Rangers and other multi-unit spandex heroes. We've got news, reviews, interviews. We talk about the comics, the games, the toys, and all things more phenomenal. Find us at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or check us out at RangerCast.net. May the power protect you.
Everybody, I would like to welcome you to another episode of Pop Culture Gems. This is a series where I, Davis Green, talk to amazing creators, artists, cosplayers, voice actors, and so much more. If you like the interviews we do with our terrific guests, like, follow, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, the CFG channel. We release Pop Culture Gems on all podcast services and also on our main website, ConFreaksAndGeeks.com. If you also would like to support the show, that'd be awesome if you go to our website, the CFG.store, where you can be a VIP member and see this completely uninterrupted. Today, I am talking to a voice actor who has been in the game fairly recently, but she is making waves already. They have they've been playing characters like Short in Reborn as a Vending Machine, I Now Wander as a Dungeon, Violet St. George in the Ancient Magus Battles Season 2, but you definitely know her as Tomo from Tomo-chan Is a Girl. I would like to welcome Lexi Nieto to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh man, I'm doing great. What an intro, man. It's good to hear my resume. Like, I'd be like, what have I been in? I don't even
remember. It's always, yeah, I definitely love it. You know what I also like to, try to do though too? Because I mean, I know you're fairly new. You've been in the game, but you're, like I said, you've been doing an awesome job of just, you know, getting yourself out there. It's really cool. But like, I love it when people have like a decade long resume list. And then I love choosing the series that they probably have forgotten what it was. But
I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, how do I know what's going to get them the most? Be like, really? You picked that one? But it's also, like, it's like, yeah, I did my research. Thank you.
Yes, it's like, you remember that? It's like, oh, yeah, I love it. That's so great.
Absolutely.
Yes. But I'm weird that way. But anyways.
Not weird. I think that's special. I think that's a good way to make someone feel special for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. And but let's get into it. I definitely want to talk about Geek Out with you today. So,
oh, yes, my favorite thing to do.
Very awesome. Now, but I always like to ask this to all voice actors that come on here. What is your story? Like, what got you into the voice acting world?
Yeah. I, like most folks, didn't start here, obviously. Theater is my main gig, my main love. But I didn't even start that until I was, I think, about 9. I did school plays, school musicals, like the annual thing. It wasn't like, you know, no big deal. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make this my career when I grow up. I was just like, no, I really like doing this, but I'm definitely going to be a visual artist when I grow up, because that's what everybody compliments me for. And that's what everybody is nicest to me about. And they weren't so nice about, you know, my singing and my wanting to perform and everything, but everyone was like, oh, draw me. You're so good at drawing, draw me. So by the time I got to high school, I was like, okay, I'm not doing theater anymore. Nobody likes it when I do that. I'm going to get into visual art, and that's what I'm going to do. And I took one art class my freshman year of high school, and I said, I'm not going to do art as my career, because I realized the second that somebody else is telling me what to draw, I don't want to draw anymore. I just want to draw what I want to draw when I want to draw it. So that I realized it's much more of a hobby than it is like a career choice. I don't like it that much, and I don't have the patience to spend a lot of time on different pieces and stuff. And you know, with the way that artists have to like crank out different pieces for commission stuff, like I know, unfortunately from experience, that's not the game for me. So did musical theater in college. But at, you know, at the time, as I was drawing all the time in like middle school, around 7th grade, I super, super got into not just anime, but watching English voice actor panels on YouTube. So like I'd finish a series and then I'd end up watching more hours of panels on YouTube than I would like the actual anime. And I was that friend in the friend group who was like, oh, that's this character. This actor voices this character in this show and this character in this show and this one. And this one. Did you know that this voice, like my friends were like, I don't care. I just want to watch the anime and draw the characters. So were I was super, like a, super. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you like a, like, did you like, were you hardcore in English dubs like back during that time?
100%. 100%. No, I was not. I still, this is probably like a knock on me, but I still don't really know sub actors that well. Like, even if they've been in everything and anything I've seen, I was a diehard English dub fan. And it wasn't like a, you know, F the sub. Like, no, I was like, both of them are amazing. I can see the actors in America when I go to conventions. So that to me was like this amazing concept to be able to do that was like, wow. So it just made me more excited to see their work and be connected to them as just as actors and as human beings. Yeah, I was super obsessed with them when I was in middle school. And then it kind of fizzled out in high school when the theater bug came back. And then college was like, I'm theater. I don't care about anime. But then I played Persona 5. And then I was like, oh, and then on YouTube, the like Persona 5 voice actor panel started being recommended to me. And I was like, oh my God, am I about to go back into this black hole of death from middle school? And I did. And honestly, thank God I did, because then everything shut down in 2020. So all my live performance jobs were gone. Mm-hmm. And I had just recently met my roommate and friend who bought this printer, actually, because she had like name dropped Jerry Jewell in just a casual conversation about anime. And I was like, hold on, do you know English dub voice actors? And we like freaked out around each other, 'cause I was like, I haven't been able to talk about this since I was like 13. What the heck? And we were like, what if we, I don't know, messed around and moved to Dallas and tried to get into Funimation Crunchyroll. And now we did that. And now we are both in the zeitgeist.
Y'all both got into it too. Yeah. Wow, that is crazy. Is she also a voice actor as well?
She is. It's Kirsty Johnson. She mostly, like, what she's known for in the community, she's actually one of the two talent coordinators at Crunchyroll. So she got into the office and then also made her way into the booth and showed everybody that she's a freaking natural and she's excellent at what she does. So yeah, she hasn't been able to do too much of the booth side just because of office things and, you know, having a full-time job. But yeah, she's incredible. She's so good.
That is so crazy. Like that, I love that. I love that. you know, it's kind of funny because like now when you found the person that was similar to what you liked, the dam broke.
And no, exactly. Totally exactly. Flooded. And oh, like truly, completely and truly changed my life.
Wow. Y'all both were in the same area? Like y'all were both like, was this college for like you met each other at college and then y'all moved over here?
We actually met after college. It was, we're really getting in the weeds here. So as soon as I graduated, because like I said, I'm from Central Florida. I grew up in Tampa and then I moved to Orlando for college. And then I worked at Universal for 1 year before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so my trainer at Universal for the role that I, you know, like got the job at Universal for, who also now lives with us and also is a voice actor. Her name is Jacqueline Thomas. Oh my God. Yeah, we're all in the game. She introduced me. So who I moved with is her best friend. Wow. So I actually met her when Jacqueline, my trainer, invited me over to her house to play D&D with all of them. And so I was like, oh my God, I was super intimidated because I was like, oh my God, these are all her really cool friends that are all really good at this game that I've never played. And like Kirsty just like dominated, like she came in with her personality and was so good and was so committed to the, like her character and was so like really good at being a leader. And she, I know that if she listens to this, she'll be like, what are you talking about? You're lying. But it's just the truth. It's the truth. I was like, I really, really want to be her friend. She's so cool. And now here we are. It's really awesome.
That's awesome. I love that story. That is so cool. Yeah, especially when you're bringing other people into
I was like, hey, you know this thing that you didn't think that you thought was possible? I think you should do it because you deserve to do it. And you're also really good at it naturally.
Yeah, it's pretty much so. It's like, oh, no. It's like, you know, what do you like when you're like away from doing voiceover work? What do you like to do when you're away from performing itself? Like, what do you like to do?
Oh, God. See, perform. That's a whole other thing. Performing in general. That's what do I like to do? I sometimes enjoy drawing. Like, I really is. Especially within the past couple of years, like I really have to be in the mood. But when I find like when an obsession gets like big enough, oh my God, I went 10 hours without doing anything else about a year or two ago working on a piece that I got really excited about. And I was like, oh, I should probably go eat something. So that's sometimes it. I also enjoy the occasional video game. Mm-hmm. But again, that has to like, it has to be one that I'm like, oh, I'm really excited about this. I.e. Persona 5. Like I would wake up at whatever ungodly hour of the morning and play until I went to sleep and then wake up the next day and do the same thing again until I finished it. And same thing with Animal Crossing when New Horizons first came out. Oh my God. I was like, I would go on walks because this was pandemic time. So I'd go on walks with my parents and I'd be like, that would be a cool furniture item for my, I'm like, this is real life. This is real life. Stop. Get out of it. Also love, more recently I've been into music stuff.
Yes, I saw your YouTube video about that. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yes.
Thank you for watching that. That's so kind. Yeah. It's really just him and his collaborators that I love them, man. They're just the coolest ever. And
you know what I love about you? And this is I'm just saying, because it's just like you have an idea, you just go and do it. Like you don't even like, you just like, hey, this is my target. This is what I'm wanting to do. This is in my mind. I'm just going to go. And I just love how you just push yourself to go and go out there. Cause the worst case is them, like anyone saying no. And then you still pursue it. I mean, I just like,
thank you so much.
Very admirable. Yeah.
Thank you. And what goes behind the scenes that sort of, you know, nobody sees is the hours of anxiety and agony that I'm like, should I do it? I don't know. What do I do? What if they say no? What if that? And then having to rip myself out of that and be like, just post the damn thing. Like, just to do it. So trust me, there's a lot of like battles going on in here when that happens. So thank you for saying that. That does really mean a lot. Thank you.
Well, I mean, the journey alone that you've already done with this, and then plus like with a video I saw on YouTube, and it's like, wow, even though you may have that those are not slowing you down, you know.
Thank you.
You still do. I love it though. It's really good.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Another
thing I remembered, this kind of goes into performing kind of, but I also host at conventions also. So I will be the like moderator for Q&As and stuff and like interviewing. I love doing what you are doing right now. Oh my God. I love to do it so much. I love getting to talk to people and ask them questions about their careers and like pick their brains about how they are, where they are. I love it so much.
You know, it's funny. I've never done it before. My friends say I should try doing it. And then I was like, I would love to, but I have no idea what I need to do to get that done. So then I've been talking with, I think you went to the show, Anime Frontier.
I was hosting there. Yeah. I did a couple Q&As there.
Yeah. And I've been talking to the VP on that in the back, like literally like a past month. And then she's like, talk to me when we get a little bit sooner to the thing. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'll try that this.
The press? So they, you do the press. Cool. Very cool.
I've been doing press for them for about 3 years now already.
Nice. Cool.
And so I have a really good decorum with them. Like I have really good connections with the people there.
And they're great. Left Field is excellent people.
I really want to try going to Anime NYC.
Went for the first time this past year. Just for fun. It's incredible. I did admittedly post up at Rico's table for most of the weekend just because I was like a safe place. But it was also cool because then people would come up and they'd be like, oh, wait a minute, which was really weird and crazy, but it was super fun. They have a ton of stuff going on there.
Oh, Javits Center. It's an incredibly place. Yeah, like I've been to a New York Comic Con. I've done it like several times. But I've always wanted to try the anime convention because I know they use the same space. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, it has to be just as big, right?
And it's huge. It's so huge. I didn't even get to see all of it while I was there.
Yeah, it usually takes about twice. The panel rooms, but the dealer hall is just
enormous. Oh my God,
insanely enormous. Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen one time, but even when you're not even in Javits, it's just you're in downtown. You're in Manhattan, man. You're like,
it's my favorite place in the whole wide world.
Yeah,
it's my favorite place.
It's a great place. Like, did you go see any shows?
Again, we're opening up the floodgates again. The other side.
Yes.
Because again, musical theater is my number one. I want to live in New York I don't know when, but I would like it to be soon. I want to, that is where mm-hmm. I want to be. That's where I want to end up. Mm-hmm. So last time second to last time I visited, during that time of Anime NYC, I was there for 2.5 weeks because I was just like, forget it. My friend is going out of town for Thanksgiving. I can stay in her apartment by myself. Oh, it was amazing. What did I see? Shark is Broken, because I love uh-huh. Alex Brightman. He's my favorite person. Oh my God. I saw Shocked. Hilarious. So good. Yeah. Back to the Future was fun.
Wait, there's a Back to the Future. Is there a musical?
It sure is a musical. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I gotta look that one up. Yeah. I gotta hold that one.
Dude. I would say, honestly, there's a crazy special effect with the DeLorean at the very end of the show that was, I will admit, worth the ticket price alone. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I mean, the performers in that show, the ensemble especially, kills in that show. Oh really? My God. They are working overtime in that show. It's amazing.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so great. Yeah. I haven't been to a show in a long time, but I remember I was there pre-pandemic. I went to go see How to Succeed in Business without even trying. That was old.
It's
that
like
was
back like, in the day. Yeah.
That was Daniel Radcliffe when Daniel Radcliffe was running.
That's so cool that you saw that. That's
and
really
then Hamilton when the first session of Hamilton with that. Yeah, and then the one I'm really really wanting to go to, I'm ashamed that I haven't seen it yet, is Wicked. I've never seen Wicked.
Oh
before.
My God, you have. It is. I mean, knock on wood, it's not closing anytime soon. Oh, so you God, have plenty of time to go see that. It'll always be there at the Gershwin for sure.
Oh, definitely. Well, God, yes. It's like, I'm not in any hurry for that one, but because like I'm okay with most of that stuff, but like the only one I really was a big fan of were like really Andrew Lloyd Webber shows, and then as well, Kinky Boots. R.I.P. I love
Kinky Boots.
Kinky
Boots. Yes.
Yeah, that's another one I saw. That was
Kinky Boots is a great one too.
Man, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I'm going off track. I love musicals.
Well, I could get into it. This is my first love. I just went back like a month ago. Just like what's today? Yeah, almost exactly a month ago to go see Alex Brightman and Spamalot and Leslie Kritzer and James Monroe Iglehart and everybody else who's in it. They're all ridiculous. I like randomly started crying during Act One because I was like, I love these people so much.
Oh no, that's funny. Oh no,
it was
that's
so good.
Great.
It was that was a great Jesus. Night. Oh, it was awesome.
Oh man, I'm trying to get back on top. No, it's not your fault. It's like, dude, we're geeks, we're nerds,
this is my favorite thing.
That's what it is. I know that you're like also a fan of anime. You said you were an anime fan when you were going into middle school. Like, what are some of your favorite shows that you like to watch?
Oh man, as of recent, like within recent years, My Hero took over my life. Sort of it's the show that made me, you know, really connect with that friend group that played D&D. But I started with Oran was my first, which is crazy because Caitlin Glass directed and cast me in Tomo, which is like, that was so stupid. And then I gotta adjust my headphones. Soul Eater I think is my all-time fave, because every time I go back to it I get very emotional, because that was the one that really consumed my life that summer between eighth and ninth grade. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, I mean, it's all like the big classics from around the like early mid 2000s,
right? Was Soul Eater the one that kind of introduced you into it, or like was it just
Oran was my first, because it so okay. What happened was I watched Oran and then I watched Soul Eater immediately after and was like, wait a second, these guys sound familiar, and then that's sort of what opened up that black hole for me, was being like, I need to do some research if this is the same person. And then that was the beginning of my illness, to where now me and Kirsty, you know, we sit, we turn on any show and we're like, oh, that person. We play a game. Like, we're like, hey, can you, this is a person doing something that's not usually their register. Can you tell who it is? Go.
That's great. I love it. Now, since you're so familiar with all the back end people and the voices, and I'm actually surprised though, too, because like when you get, I don't know, did you ever like purchase anime on DVD
or only anime that I have, the whole series of Oran, is in my media cabinet out there in the living room.
Oh, okay. So, you know, like the little bonuses. Like I'm surprised that people have like both, like you actually went into the backside of the DVD and just sit down and watch the bonuses.
Listening to the commentary, I'm watching the bloopers, I'm watching the behind the scenes, like camera in the booth. Oh my God, that's like, I'll watch that before I'll watch the actual show. Like, I've seen all, I literally like signed up for a Funimation subscription in 2021, whenever, to go mm-hmm. watch all the special, like, special features for the My Hero stuff that they had on the website.
Wow, I didn't know they did that.
It was, like, password locked. But, yeah, oh, I've seen all of those, like, videos from the booth, interviews with Colleen about the direction. Oh, dude, I was in there.
Wow, that's so cool, man. That's awesome. And there's a series that you started during the pandemic also, like, on YouTube that I love to watch too as well, called Shonen Show Tunes. Yeah. Like, what gave you the idea to create that series?
Oh gosh. Well, really, it was Robbie Damon, Max Middleman, and Ray Chase doing the Lava Show at Holiday Factory in 2019. Mm-hmm. I went and saw that and I was like, this is a brilliant idea. This is so wonderful to see you guys putting the skills that you don't always get to use in the booth, live entertainment, doing what you guys do and were trained to do at conventions, like giving your, like having this platform already. I just thought it was so brilliant. So originally it was just going to be a showcase, like just one cabaret with a bunch of voice actors who do musical theater, actually in New York at a venue called 54 Below. That was the original idea. As I was like, I'm going to get all these guys together. And once I meet them and make those connections, I'm going to give them this idea. And when they're all in town for Anime NYC or New York Comic Con, they'll all be in town to do this little concert. And of course, pandemic hit. So I was like, well, this conventions aren't happening. So I was like, let me contact some of these people and see if they'll at least want to be like interviewed. And then we can sort of kind of cook up the idea through YouTube and kind of see where it goes from there. And I mean, this is where the my brain being so mean to me comes in, because, you know, after doing three episodes now I know all the people that I want to talk to. Like, I know them personally. I could text them, but I'm like, I'm scared. What if they think I'm annoying? Like, they literally know me now. I don't know. It's very silly, but I'm happy that you brought it up though, because I just recently reached out to a couple more people to try and get it really flowing and have like one episode per month. Anyway, I sort of,
no, I mean, that's, sort
of, this is, I don't know if I went off track here, but no, you didn't. Yeah, there's so many of these voice actors that we work with that, like, I mean, I have the luxury of living in Dallas and seeing a lot of them in live theater. Like, I'm literally going to see Marissa Duran tomorrow in Romeo and Juliet. Like, what a dream. What a yes. freaking dream. So I get to see how fantastic they are at this other avenue of acting that not a lot of their fan base gets to see. So I wanted to bring that to them, because, you know, obviously live theater, I can't fly 2,000 people who are all fans of this person to come see them in the show. So to give them, at least with the interviews, to give them a little taste and also some background, I think it's also good for, you know, the plethora of young folks that always ask, what's your advice on how to become a voice actor? I'm like, well, they talk about how they got into theater, which is always the recommendation of like, get into theater. So those are the steps on how they got into theater. You could see about doing that in your own area. Plus also selfishly, I'm like, I want to know your favorite things about musical theater and all the plays that you've done and your favorite Shakespeare play. Like, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great, yeah. You know, it's actually kind of funny. It's like, I talked to Marissa back in December about that, and I totally forgot she does Romeo and Juliet, Romeo and Juliet plays. And did she?
Yeah.
She's also Texas though, right? Like, didn't know that you did. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, that's definitely great to know. But like, the biggest thing though, like, with the show tunes, I mean, the idea is awesome. Have you ever thought about doing something like maybe on at a convention at the same kind of to the same kind of level of that?
That's what that idea evolved into. Because Jacqueline, my trainer from Tutsum, who now lives with me also, who also hosts at a lot of conventions as just Kirsty, she was like, you should do it at conventions because people will love it. And as I have sort of, you know, worked conventions myself and talked to a lot of these actors, I'm hoping to find people that I know would really be game for it, because I know a lot of folks are tired from working so much during the week. And then the conventions is kind of the chill time to just meet and talk with fans and not really perform again. But I know, like, with somebody like Rico, like, I know that he's going to be down for anything and everything. So we could at this point, which I've been blessed to be in a show with him and have, you know, people who know us as a duo, we could just kind of do our own thing, which hopefully, you know, maybe we'll work on something and do that, because that'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, I would love to do it at conventions. But I think as for right now, I want to stick to doing the interviews and then doing panels at conventions. Mm-hmm. So just doing like a theater-based discussion. We got to do one at MetroCon in 2021. Mm. And I haven't been able to do another one since, but I would really love to get these theater folk talking about it more, especially at in a convention setting. It was super fun when we did it the first time. And now that I am part of the community, like officially, I think I could get a little more elbow leverage in there.
Well, you're definitely putting some room for yourself in the field. So there you go.
I hope so, man. We're trying our best.
that's so great. I'm just kind of wondering though too, because you said you go to a lot of different. I'm assuming you go to a lot of different conventions and stuff, or you did at one point in time. Like, do you have like a favorite? What's some of your? Do you have any favorite cons that you would suggest, or that you hold dear? Like, what was one of your favorite times going to?
Really, Anime Frontier. Anime Frontier is like the best run. It's just like Anime NYC, obviously it's also a left field show and is an incredibly run, but it's just so huge. Mm-hmm. I think Anime Frontier is perfect for me because it's not as huge. I know a lot of the people there. I know the people who run it now. And like also every year that it's happened, Kirsty and I host some of the Q&As. So that's always it's my favorite thing to do at a convention. But it's just so organized and so good and they know what they're doing and it's always just a great experience. And they always it's just such a good show.
I love that show. Yeah, I definitely support that show a lot too. Mm-hmm. Because like first of all, I used to travel all over the place for conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
And because of the pandemic, I kind of been kind of more of an introverted kind of level of of traveling. But like Anime Frontier though, like the not only the back staff cares, not only that the people are in control on the backside of it is just really awesome folks and stuff. I really want that show to grow, to grow to a point where it's like, okay, this is the go-to. Maybe not as big as Anime NYC. That might be crazy, but
right. I don't know if the poor little Fort Worth Convention Center can handle that. But
yeah, they would need to go somewhere else at that point. It's like, nah, Fort Worth Convention Center is perfectly fine, and it's nice. It's nice enough space where you can actually go up front and talk to folks and stuff, and without feeling like you being pressured to going into it. You know,
so, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I totally love it. You're totally right. You're relatively new, like it's your second year of voice acting and you landed your first lead as Tomo Ozawa in Tomo-chan Is a Girl. What was your expectation? How did you feel initially when you got that role? First off,
I thought it wasn't going to happen because it was very different from typical castings, especially nowadays with how quickly the turnaround, you audition for it, you wait a couple weeks and then you get the email, you're recording the next day, the episode's out in 2 weeks. Bam. But for Tomo, it was a special situation, obviously, because it was an Aniplex Crunchyroll collaboration. So it wasn't like the Japanese was already done, then we send it over to the English dub, and then it's quick turnaround. I recorded the trailer in July of 2022, and then the show didn't come out until January of 2023. Wow. So in between, and then we started recording in October. So those 3 months between July and October, I was like, they're going to change directions. They just wanted Caitlin to direct the trailer and not the actual show. They're going to go with somebody else who has a bigger name, who has the different title. Like, there's no way. She just needed me because I was available, and they needed a quick turnaround for the trailer. Cause we recorded it on a Wednesday, and then it aired at Anime Expo on either a Friday or a Saturday. So it was such a quick for that. It was like, she needed somebody ASAP. So I was like, okay, that was just for the trailer. My sound fit just these little three lines or whatever. I was totally convinced that they were going to pick somebody else, even though she was like, hey, what's your availability in fall, winter, this show is going to come out and I would love for you to play the lead. We don't know for sure if it's going to be, the same, if I'm going to be directing it. But as of right now, that's what's set to happen. So I was like, there's no way, there's no way that that's for real. And then on top of it being real, I came in for my first session in October and she's like, surprise, Rico is playing your opposite. And I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? So, I mean, it just, it's still to this day after it's been, this whole show's been out for almost a year now. And I'm like, I still don't, it still doesn't feel like it's for real. Like,
yeah, that's weird on the process that you just said. Like, yeah. Like, so you said that they made the anime like coincide because I'm assuming Crunchyroll was putting money in on this for the series itself. Or so this wasn't something that you were like recording your lines and then sending it back to them. They actually waited, it just took a longer time to make, like, to produce.
Yeah, it wasn't as, I guess, a quick turnaround. They wanted to take the time and really spend time on getting it all together. And the Japanese and English dropped on the same day. So when I went in to record, the animation was done, the Japanese was done. But it was much earlier in the process of making the show than it is typically with other shows.
Normal.
Some dubs, like the whole show is done in Japanese and then we get the English dub and then we do it like that.
Yeah, but this was like, thinking.
It was super, super early in the process. Like when I recorded the trailer, like, you know, we didn't have the rest of the materials yet. It was just like I'm sure they had animated the show, but I mean, it was, I don't know that I don't exactly know. Cause you know, English dub is like the last step in anything, but, it was super, super different.
So compared to like how you normally or what you've normally experienced, like, you know, the other roles that you've kind of played, like to what this was, like, was this better to you or was
it was so much more special because the team was so much more closely involved. And also we had Sally, who was in the Japanese cast and the English cast. So like when her whole team came to Texas to record, I got to meet her and her team. And it was like, it was so special. It was such a unique experience, and the care put into that specific series, like we don't get to feel that with a lot of the other shows because it's just so quick and there's so many shows coming out. But I mean, I have an original art piece from the Japanese director, with my name on it, like to Lexi Nieto, with like a drawing of Tomo. And I'm like, this doesn't happen. Like even Rico was like, I've never had something like this sent to me. So it was
is awesome.
Yeah, it's wackadoodle do, man. I don't know what I did to deserve all this, but I'm sure grateful.
Hey, but the whole thing on top of that, though, too, is like, man, it's like they just like, what was the reason? Why? I mean, so you have no idea why the show was picked to go this way. It just happened that way. Like completely.
I probably should do more research as to why, but that is. It was a special. I think it was something to do with the manga creator as well. Like they were very involved in the making of the show, and they cared a lot about it. So it was, I mean, it was just everybody who was involved cared a whole lot and wanted it to be the best that it could be.
That is incredibly fascinating. I did not know that. That's really cool. And I kind of lost my place, but let me see.
That's all good. It's all good.
Oh gosh. Okay. And you did a great job in the series. Excuse me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I liked you basically were like when you were the voice of Tomo. It was a perfect match for what I was expecting it to be. But like
Caitlin. Caitlin.
Caitlin is a beast when it comes to this kind of stuff. But she's been doing it for years though.
Absolutely true.
This girl's known. But I can see some similarities between like Tomo, the character, and you, the actor. Like how much did you put into playing Tomo in the series?
I mean, if you mean like how much did I have to like
personality wise itself?
Yeah,
mostly,
like it wasn't a lot of like trying, to be honest. Like, you know, it, also with me, like I don't want to say it's like easy for me to drop in or whatever, but like, especially for a character like that, there's not a lot of real imagination and pretending that I have to do because it's so one-to-one. I mean, obviously I'm not super strong and I can't beat anybody up and, you know, win at all karate matches and, you know, dodgeball and all that stuff. But like the experiences of like struggling with gender identity and sounding like I do and people being like, especially the comment section for Tomo and being like, that's actually a boy. It's not, surprise.
Wow. But really?
I mean, and like dealing with tomboy stuff, dealing like, how do I get my crush to like me back? I'm not girly enough for my crush to like me back. All that jazz. I totally get it, girl. And also it was amazing not to have to do a voice and just be the character and be able to be myself and go crazy and not have to adjust my pitch or anything. Cause I think that's something I really struggle with. So it was so, I mean, it's just a blessing really to be able to just be her.
You just basically, Caitlin probably was like, yeah, this is definitely her. Like, did you work with Caitlin with any other thing before?
Yes,
before
this? Absolutely. Oh, my headphones are falling. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes, I think that is, well, I don't think I know, because there would have been no other way for her to know me for this role. Mm-hmm. I had done some Walla for her because she had subbed for another show that I'd been doing Walla for. So I was like in her booth with three other people, whatever, doing background stuff and doing bits. Mm-hmm. And then from that, because she's ridiculous and can remember what people sound like, is amazing. I don't know. I just popped in there that one time. She cast me as Valkyrie in Talk Dopey Destiny. And so we got to work together on one episode for that, because the second episode I was in, Natalie Rose, who was the AD for that show, directed mm-hmm. me. And then I did another thing of bits and Walla for her on a movie she was directing and just like background parts for, I think, the last episode of Talked. And then that literally was that session that she said, okay, hop out of the booth, I have a question for you. And then offered me the role. So it was, again, I didn't audition for it. This was it was such a crazy process that they were like, the trailer's coming out this weekend, we need somebody right now, can you do it? I was like, I guess, I don't know.
Unbelievable, that is incredible.
Yeah, so just from working with her a couple times, she was kind enough to take a huge chance on me. So I hope it worked out for the best.
I'm pretty sure. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure it definitely did for the best, though. Yes. So like, yes, it's like score did it. Yes. finally, my last question to you is like, like I said, you're new to like you're fairly new. I'm sorry to bring it up all the time, but just
I am definitely a little fresh faced baby.
Yeah, like, do you have like any goals or personal goals of what you're wanting to make this career to be? Like, is this like something that you're, well, you said you're wanting to end up being in theater, but like, are there any like short term goals within your voice acting career that you're planning on wanting to do?
Oh man, I mean, I just want to be in there, I guess. And also, I would love to do more convention stuff and bring Shonen Show Tunes to conventions. Like, even if I'm not booking roles anymore, that's okay. I would just be thrilled to still be in the convention zeitgeist and the community of voice actors and be able to provide them with that avenue of showing their theater skills, or at least being able to talk about it at conventions. I know that's more of a long-term thing, I guess, but that really is the biggest thing, especially now that a lot of theater idols are going to voiceover things with like Has Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss and all those kinds of things. I'm like, oh my God, the crossover is crazy. Like, yes. One of my favorite Broadway actors, Bryce Pinkham, who is the original Monty Navarro in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which is my favorite musical ever in the whole wide world. He sat next to Marissa, like his table was next to Marissa's at SAC Anime, I think. And I was like, this is too much for me. This is like, the crossover is breaking my brain. And I was like, I want to be in there. I want to get involved however I can. So whether that be directors being kind enough to book me for more things and getting my name more out there in that sense, or just, you know, really hitting the ground running and getting Shonen Show Tunes up and running and getting more people to know about it. I just want to be involved in the community in any way that I can.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you're definitely wanting to be a part of the community, by all means, man. But that is so, so cool. It's really awesome.
Thank you so much.
Lexi, is there a plug in the place where folks can like follow you, check you out, see what your plans of your future plans and stuff, like where could people check you out at?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm most active on Instagram. I check everything all the time. So Twitter and Instagram are pretty good places. You can find me either way. But I'm most active on Instagram, which is just my name, Lexi Nieto, LexiNieto. And then Twitter's the same, except there's an underscore between my first and last names, because at Lexi Nieto was taken by a girl who hasn't used Twitter since 2013. It's very frustrating.
I wish there was a system to get on. I know, I totally understand that.
It's so silly. But, and also my website. website for like professional stuff if you're into that. It's just also my name.com, LexiNieto.com.
Yes, yes. Oh, check out her YouTube, dude. Like, y'all need to check out her YouTube.
Yeah, that's true. I should say that. but I post about that stuff on my Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
When it comes out. But yes, Shonen Show Tunes is on YouTube right now. I also have a webpage if you want to see more stuff about Shonen Show Tunes, which is in fact LexiNieto.com/ShonenShowTunes. Yeah, that's what's up and coming. Get it cooking. Get more people knowing about it.
That's how it is. That's what networking is. You have to network. Get old and be on that grind.
I hate calling it that, but true. Like, cause like I genuinely do. I was like, I want to be friends with these people. Like, actually, capital F friends. Like, I want to. I was like, how did you and your wife or husband meet? Like, how did you know? How's your kids? Like, I want to know that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's actually funny because like the way I decided to do this show was because it was funny because like I went to a convention and I don't remember the name of the convention, but like I went to a convention and then I was like, oh, I'm going to go meet Zeno Robinson. I've never met Zeno Robinson before.
Oh my God, what a cool guy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to him but then they decided, so I was there on time waiting for the interview slot that I was slated for.
Yeah.
And then they were like, Zeno's going to be a little late. It's going to be like 15 minutes late or so. I'm like, okay, that's no problem. So then 15 minutes goes by. It's like, they're just now getting on the bus to get over here to the venue. It's going to take about another 15 or 20 minutes. So it's like, okay, fine. I'm still like an hour before it opens. And then like 40 minutes later, they say, yeah, Zeno isn't coming. And So I was kind of like upset, not like upset at him, but more like upset about like you go through the whole process. Yeah, exactly.
Scheduling can be super tough.
So I was like, then I just got to a realization. Then I was like, you know, this is probably the worst place to talk to folks because they're not there. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're here for the fans, but they're also here for money. You know, they're here for their career and then like and stuff like that. I didn't want to impose anymore. So I decided, you know, let me just make this podcast and see if it's possible to get people in a more settled, you know, environment and like and they can just talk whatever they want to talk about like this. That's what I love because it's like it's not just about your career and stuff. I mean, it's a little bit about it, but it's also about you being the person too. You know?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I definitely enjoyed it. No, I love these kind of conversations. It's just like something that you will not get at a convention. And I definitely appreciate
it. Right. Because it's just everybody's go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So there you go. But no, I totally understand. But I don't even know where I was going with this. But anyways,
it's all good.
But Lexi, thank you so much for geeking out with me today. It was
oh
awesome.
My god! Anytime. Yeah. Like I said, it's my favorite thing to do. Anytime.
Yes, and guys, if you like this interview with Lexi Nieto, you can also check out our other interviews that we have done in the past
Van
on our
Bar
website.
Van Bar Jr. Woo!
Yes. Yeah, you go to our big website, confreaksandgeeks.com, or it's on all podcast services out there. So once again, this is Davis signing out. Y'all, take it easy.